Few in our society are as vulnerable as homeless youth. It's a struggle for survival, made more difficult by their status as minors when laws are in place that make it difficult for them to sign themselves into shelters. We spoke with Alika Campbell, the program coordinator for Waikiki's Halekipa Youth Outreach and Transitional Living Programs, about the complex landscape of youth homelessness.
When people think homelessness, they kind of have an automatic mental picture of probably a severely mentally ill person with a shopping cart full of stuff talking to themselves. Mm-hmm. And youth homelessness is very different than that. And homelessness in general is much more complicated than that, too. But youth homelessness especially, there's a lot of different flavors, let's say, mm-hmm. in terms of, you know, are they a runaway youth? Are they a throwaway youth? Are they part of a homeless family? You know, the different paths to homelessness impact sort of the needs and whatnot.
There are enough throwaway youth to have it be a category unto itself?
Well, I don't even really totally know where that term comes from originally. Mm-hmm. I think it's the feds. But runaway is you chose to leave. Mm-hmm. Throwaway is you didn't necessarily want to leave and your parents kicked you out. Mm-hmm. And the dynamics there are different, right? Because if I chose to leave for a whole variety of reasons, abuse and neglect in the household, sexual assault, just sort of sowing your wild oats and being out there, mm-hmm. That's very different than, oh, my parents kicked me out because of substance use or sexuality or something like that.
But there is enough of that to be measurable is what I'm asking.
The measuring is really hard.
Yeah.
We don't actually know. I don't think anywhere in the country has a good count on youth homelessness because mm-hmm. they're a very hidden population.
Yeah.
I tell people all the time, you know, my folks are just like any other adolescent. They want to have cool shoes and, you know, wear nice clothes. And so they're not obvious. They don't stand out. Mm-hmm. And unless you're out sort of observing regularly, you'll probably miss them. So for years, we've struggled with the annual point in time getting a very accurate count.
I've always wondered how that could be accurate.
Plus or minus a fair amount.
Yeah.
And it is very much a point in time thing. You know, it's the one night of the year. And youth homelessness, I think, maybe more than a lot of other types of homelessness, is very fluctuating. Uh-huh. You know, I'm out tonight, and then tomorrow I'm crashing on a friend's couch, and then the next week I'm back out. And so I think they're in some ways maybe more transient than. And so it's not like they're out all year. I mean, some of them are.
Yeah.
But
Alika,
yeah.
What's the day, you know, with the kids you work with, what's a day like in their life, say, in Waikiki? They get up in the morning. Where are they?
At the park, at the beach, sometimes in an abandoned building, sometimes crashed on a friend's couch, but usually outside. And oftentimes you're kind of getting up with the sun.
Yeah.
And then sort of floating around kind of throughout the day. This sounds sort of bad, but if you got to be homeless anywhere in the United States, Hawaii is one of your best choices, just weather-wise, because you're not going to freeze to death. But the realities of life on the street are the same everywhere. It's day-to-day survival.
Well, when you first described that, I was thinking, you know, maybe when I was 14, I might have thought that was a romantic image, mm-hmm. of sleep under a tree on a warm beach,
sure.
and get up and the ocean's right there. Do some kids get into that life because of that, you know, pursuing that fantasy?
I think so, yeah. Not very many. And usually the reality of life on the street kicks in pretty early. But yeah, definitely there's some youth that maybe technically they have a home that they can go to, and they're out on the street initially to, you know, have fun and no rules. And,
yeah.
They've run away from, you know, mom scolding them about doing chores and stuff, and the initial freedom of life on the street is very appealing.
They've romanticized it.
But then after a little while, the reality kicks in. And
what realities are those, Alika? That's what I was curious about.
Again, it's day-to-day survival. It's where am I going to eat tonight? Where am I going to sleep tonight? How do I protect my belongings? And with the park closures and the sidewalk enforcements and stuff, there's a lot of people losing their belongings, having to move around.
Is that making it life tougher?
for it's definitely kids. Making life tougher, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And then for the minors, the ones under 18, the laws in terms of being able to consent to shelter are complicated. And so it's not like, you know, a 14-year-old could just walk into IHS tomorrow and have bed. if they're unaccompanied youth without parental consent, technically you can't really house them at a regular adult shelter. The law is, there's a little window in the law that's pretty specific about mature minors, 14 and up, 14 to through eight, up to 18, can consent to placement into a youth emergency shelter, but they can't, without parental consent, parent or guardian, but they can't, you know.
Alika, what you're describing is a setup in the law that keeps them on the street.
In some ways, yeah, in some ways, because the concept is they're not really mature enough to make good choices, and so they can, but they can consent to placement. I don't remember exactly what the wording is. It's something along the lines of they can get placement into an emergency shelter of a licensed child placing agency, which is only a couple agencies around the state. So Holly Keepa's emergency shelter is one of them. But oftentimes the social network that they've formed out on the street is very powerful. And the idea of, I think in general, change is hard. You know, even if it's good change, it's still hard because it's stepping out of the known. And so it's kind of sometimes a tough sell.
But there are kids who could be, should be sheltered that aren't because of a wrinkle in the law. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, I think that's what I'm telling you in terms of their inability to consent for getting into shelter. And I mean, the situations are complicated, right? Because sometimes they're on the run for, you know, to escape abuse and neglect and that sort of thing. But it's not quite severe enough for CPS to step in. And so the idea of, oh, yeah, I call my dad so I can get into shelter, dad's who I'm avoiding. And so that's, yeah, there's, as so I said, it's complicated.
You need parental consent, but if the parental consent just is not going to be forthcoming either by your choice or theirs, it sounds as if you're outdoors.
Mostly. As I say, you can, there's a small little window in there. If you're 14 and up, you can consent to placement in a youth emergency shelter, but there's like 8 beds for guys and 8 beds for girls, and so it's
in the area that you work, Alika. How many kids are sleeping outside tonight?
That's always
a ballpark guess.
Yeah, that's always a hard number.
100, 200.
The ones we know, I mean, the ones that I know, it's, you know, 50 to 100 probably, but that's just who I know. Average monthly attendance at our drop-in center, 100 to 150 unduplicated folks over the course of the year. When I combine all the months and unduplicate again, 500-600 people. But that's just who happens to come into our drop-in center. And there's some folks that we see out on street outreach that never come in. In average year over the past 10 plus years, we see probably 800 to 1,000 unduplicated individuals over the course of a year. But that's where the point in time, you know, a point in time count is not really reflective of the true scope of the issue.
Alika Campbell is the program coordinator for Holly Keepa Youth Outreach and Transitional Living Programs, known as YO. It's a collaboration between Holly Keepa and Waikiki Health, and you can learn more about it on our conversation Facebook page.